Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Speak the Truth Podcast. I am your co-host, Matt Tardio. Rob's still out right now. He's out fishing in Florida. Got on a special guest for you guys today. His name, well, we're gonna keep his last name out of it, but his first name's Eric. He's a personal buddy of mine. I served with him when I was in the Honor Guard in Washington, D.C. He was actually one of my first team leaders that I had. He taught me a lot of And it's fun because, like, the co-host on this podcast, Rob, right? Co-hosts. Rob, I was actually, like, his first squad leader. And so I love the fact that we're able to do that, like, militarily speaking, and get, like, a bunch of that stuff out there. Eric was on the ground, 9/11 in the Honor Guard. Like I said, we both served together in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to do my best to let him tell his tale of what was going on there. And first and foremost, Eric, I want to thank you of actually coming in and talking about this. I know it's not an easy thing to talk about. And, you know, when I first started talking about my experiences and the different things that I've been through and my struggles with PTSD on other people's podcasts, it's nice to have other people that are actually willing to come on and talk about that. So for that, sir, I thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, bro.
Remember you when you were just, what, 18?
Oh, yeah. How I was a little, I was a little turd back in the day. And I remember even, so like, yeah. I remember when I first showed up to the Honor Guard and like we were setting our uniforms up, it was you and Rakes. And like Rakes was giving me crap because I had on the GWAT service medal. And he was like, dude, you were not. Yeah. He's like, you are not supposed to have that on your uniform. He's like, only the guys that were there on 9/11 are authorized that medal. And I was like, actually, they put it on all of us in basic training.
No, it was a blanket. It was in the works to be a blanket ribbon. So,
but originally you had to get
an expeditionary one. No, what we were told is like, just the guys here at Pentagon, like search and rescue, remains and recovery. A lot of us got that medal.
I don't know. That was one of those things as a new guy to like show up and have that medal on my uniform. And then to have guys like you and Rakes that would be like, you didn't earn that. Why are you wearing it? And for me just to be like, I feel like a complete, like I am not worthy. I feel like a turd.
It's a different kind of like earn. Let's go over that word earn. You earn your right to be there, but you didn't graduate to the level to, you earn different steps, but that was our, you know, we were there together and we witnessed it together. It was something that it's like, hey, this is reminds me of us. We were all there. We shared the experience. And then seeing other people coming in, it's like the Rangers getting their beret taken away from them.
I was just thinking the same thing. The black beret, man.
When I went in, I was there during the transition from soft covers to, you know, the C caps.
Yep.
And, all that stuff and a bunch of politicians try to save money on whatever.
Yep.
You can get 100,000 berets from China or they can buy them there. It's cheaper than making hats.
I wish I still had mine, like the C cap, because we had a nickname for it. I'm not going to say it because Charles is going to end up having to blank it out anyways, but it's a word for a female body part that's often used as a derogatory term towards women. So, that's what we used to call those caps. It was a derogatory term, cap.
They look like the old World War II looking ones.
Yes.
I still have mine. I might have to go pull it out of my
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Safe. I'm not putting it on.
Oh, man.
For the everybody knows about the National Defense Medal. I think that's service-wide, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, each branch.
Yep.
And so everybody starts with that. That's the first one. And if they don't get shit, usually they get on the third year, they get a good conduct ribbon.
Yep.
So it's just all merit. That's what all this stuff is. If you have fillers and you got recognized for being, doing your duty.
Yep.
You got recognized. That's what the medals are. It's not to showboat. It's to remind you of this is who I am.
Yep. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I remember talking to you guys back in the day. Like, I remember talking little bits to you guys back in the day and hearing little bits and pieces about what had happened during that time frame. And I didn't understand how long it was and the particular things. Like, when I read that article that you sent me, like, a little bit ago and I went through it, I was like, holy shit. Like,
yeah.
That is so much more significant than what I remember hearing. You know, and, like, it really, like, that.
Really?
Yes. Like, I shared it with Charles, the camera guy. You know, I shared it with Charles, and Charles was like, holy hell. It is like a complete side of this war on terror that has never been, in my opinion, properly told. And so that's kind of like, for the couple hundred of you guys that were actually there, that
maybe it wasn't the origin, because earlier we were talking, it was the origin of our current war, but it's not the origin of terrorism per se, but in that region, when Americans got, when outside forces got involved for their own agenda, it was a catalyst. 9/11 was a catalyst that almost...
Dude, it was a huge catalyst for everything. Like, even today, like what's going on in Syria, what's happening in Afghanistan right now, like none of that stuff would be where it's at without that event to have taken place. And what kills me is the conspiracy theories behind it. They drive me insane. I have defended so many times about people that are trying to talk about a cruise missile hitting the Pentagon or explosives being placed in the Twin Towers and all this other ridiculous shit.
I know about the tragedy in New York, the towers being hit by airplanes up there, coming down to the details of, the fine tooth comb, conspiracy theorists try to make their own shit up. It's, you go get as deep as some limelighting from our own unit. And I don't know what their agenda is. I want to think that the disassociation mentally for him has messed him up this much, but start spreading shit that all the other, his other brothers, other guys that were with him, they're like, what are you doing? People were standing right there with you.
Yeah. Well, and that's, I mean, we're going to, let's talk about that part.
That I had my hands on in New York that I saw that they put in the museum up there. Anyways, go ahead.
I was going to say, let's talk about that part in a little bit, man, because I definitely want to talk about the disassociation part and everything that, like, the actual impacts that this kind of stuff has on people. But what were you doing that day? Like, what were you doing that morning?
No, that morning we were just rehearsing. We were on Alpha Company, which was at the time at Fort McNair, Fort Leslie J. McNair. We were doing some training on Fort Myer across the river in Virginia. And, we heard that morning that something happened. I think we were like actually on the bus, the Bluebird.
Yeah.
Going from Nair to Meyer at, right after breakfast. And we just heard news that one of the towers got hit. It's so fucking fuzzy. I got to tell you this. I was behind McNair, or behind the Blue Onion, Meyer on Meyer, the big water tower you used to call the Blue Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Behind Connie Hall.
As I say, it was over by Sea Hall.
I was standing in the back with a bunch of other Joes, and we were just listening to the radio. Henry Bagdash, and he's like, what the hell are you guys listening to? But another plane hit in New York. And like, man, we were talking shit at the time. Like, man, if this really was a terrorist attack, we'd be coming headed straight to D.C. Which is exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
At that exact moment. And you can hear it. You feel it. Some of the guys saw the airplane, ran inside, muster formation. Supposed to go in on head count, blah, blah, blah. Nobody said, you know, we're instantaneously it's happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you're military, so, you know, it's not 0 to 60, it's 0 to 1,000.
It's 0 to 1,000 and then just a standstill sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Holy shit, this just happened. Grab accountability, and then it's like, pause.
Yeah, it's like, pause, make sure you got your gears up, everything. And just be on the, you know, that was our posture for a long time, was just stay alert, you know.
And it's when I read that article that you had talked about, right? Because the what you just described is like having that airplane that came by and feeling it hit the Pentagon, and you guys get accountability on Fort Myer. Fort McNair is in Washington, D.C. Fort Myer is actually in Virginia, so it's across the river.
It's right across the river.
Right.
So people don't really know the area. It's not like, it's right across the river.
And so you guys got ordered to go back to McNair.
Yeah, we were told to get full battle rattle. Everybody needs to be full battle rattle.
Yep.
You know what that means is full gear up.
Yep.
But we get on one of the buses to go across. We couldn't go through the main roads because everything was gridlocked.
Well, yeah, there was two ways to get back there.
Complete gridlock.
If I remember right, there's essentially two ways to get back there. And one leads you past the Pentagon, which would be completely and totally f***ed at that point. And then what you were saying, Memorial Bridge.
Yeah, well, before we get, there's Memorial Bridge and the other one by that fish market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
the one we'd run past and hate our lives. Yeah. Oh,
that's why my run time was so fast.
Was it the 14th Street Bridge?
Yeah, probably. It was just that.
I don't remember what it was called.
Fish market. Anyways, when we got head count, everybody had all this. We jumped back on transport and went through Arlington National Cemetery.
Yep.
I think it's the only time buses, any vehicle has gone over 50 miles an hour, or maybe 60 miles an hour, through a national cemetery.
That's
since we were under attack.
Yeah, you guys were ripping through ANC. Like, so, like, those that don't know, like, in order to get, like, the backside of Arlington National Cemetery leads you straight to Memorial Bridge so you can cross back over the Potomac. And obviously, the cemetery, there's not going to be gridlock traffic in there, so it makes sense to go that way because you're beating it.
Yeah, it was very. Our chain of command really did a great job, I think, looking back, you know. But we couldn't do anything with what we had. We were told we were under attack.
No. And so, in fact, the country was under attack.
The 9/11 thing's bad enough, too. But preceding that, the whole nation doesn't know what the hell's going on. The military community is freaking the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
The military communities in the area where it got hit are freaking out the most. Like, there's more coming. That's all we know. So
and
we're like, what the fuck am I going to do if an airplane is on an invasion?
And there was another flight heading south at the time. And you guys are in a military installation, like, close enough to when the plane hit the Pentagon, you can feel it. Like, I've been in that situation, but not that, you know, not here stateside, but, like, you can feel it, and there's other stuff on the way.
Yeah.
Like, that in itself is a mental f***. Like, just
the
having...
mental part is, like, psychologically, there's this low bass just playing, and your whole body's feeling like it's resonating, and, like, not fear. I mean, it's operating on fear. You need a little fear. It's not your overconfidence, but it's more adrenaline. You're so honed onto your training that you're not really thinking about the ramifications of what really just happened, or even just think about anything. I was 21, and I know all you guys are turning 21 because you're all men. But when you're 21, you're at your prime. Good for you. But mentally, you're still like, there's a shitload to learn. But all this stuff that happened to that group of people, it's like, grow the fuck up fast. And I don't know. I don't think I was ready for it at the time. I could have had a couple more years.
I don't think anybody's ready for that at any point in their life. I mean, like, to be perfectly clear about, like, the situation we're talking about, you're an infantryman by trade. You're in the honor guard in Washington, D.C. Within a matter of hours, you have planes that are hitting the Twin Towers, and then one that slams into the Pentagon so close that you can hear it flying by and feel the explosion from it hitting the Pentagon. And then you get mustered up.
Yeah.
Then you get mustered up and you don't know what the hell you're going into. You don't know if you're going to have another plane fall on your fucking head, and you're probably concerned, knowing you as a human being, you probably want to go and help. Like,
it's almost like a complete storyline between getting out of ANC and then hitting the bridge that was closed off by police or military guys got us through. And but that from that point all the way back to McNair and getting readied up, you know, like full gear, that almost is its own time frame. Like,
that's the other thing too, that
pre-touchdown, you know, pre-9/11 when we went in and saw the, you know, hey, more power to you.
And even reading that, like, that the traffic was so gridlocked that you guys actually got off the buses and ran back to McNair.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Yeah. Like, the level of dedication you guys had. And, like,
a few miles back, I swear, we were all running at a steady six.
What?
All of us. Not even thinking.
Oh, what were you guys wearing?
We're wearing our training outfits for SOA. So we'll go into the detail later.
Oh, come on. No way. Were you really?
Yeah, I was going to go into detail with that. At least
it wasn't steels, man. If you guys had steels on, that would have really sucked.
There were some dudes that had steels on that because we had to pull everybody from the company back. And some guys were like on special details or whatever, just around the hall.
Steels, for those of you guys that are wondering, are like shoes with little, they're basically horseshoes. On like
the
back,
front and the back,
on the back of your core fams, and then like one little tip on the front, and then they've got like cheaters on the inside to when you clack your heels together, they go bang. So like, they're just shoes that are weighted down with steel to make you sound sexy when you walk.
And on top of it, they're slippery as hell on concrete or on cement.
Oh yeah, I'd have probably taken them off and just ran whatever. Wanted to run barefoot. Holy hell! So you guys ran back to the bees.
We get ordered to get in full uniform, and it's a hurry up and wait situation. Then went to arms room. We got stuff, and then we got posted around where we needed to be. So they put us on, pulled us out, and put us on security around the whole area, extending from the opposite side of McNair to the opposite side of Myers. And I think some people got pulled on special duty to pull security around Capitol, White House. It was so crazy at that time. And
so they start sending troops, and basically, and it makes sense. They start sending
them everywhere.
It's like
they were acting like we were going to get not invaded, but it was just such a what the fuck rush, you know?
Yeah.
Like, go.
Yeah.
And then we get there, and then by the time you're pulling security, we're watching your lane, and you finally get to think, what the fuck is going on? It's like, okay, I'm here. What happened between now and everybody get on the bus?
And that's such a surreal thing to go from like waking up one morning and being like, it's going to be another day, right? Like you woke up that morning and you're like, it's just going to be another day. We're going to go knock out some ceremonial shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be another day by
PT in the morning. And Old Guard is crazy about their PT, which is, you know, props, you know, getting in shape. But we had PT in the morning, like early morning, at chow, and then you think, okay, after that, after chow, you know, we do a mission or two, come back there, work out a little more, eat lunch, and I got another duty this afternoon. Okay, go do that, come back, that's your day. That's why it's like, or I mean, you get told in advance before we do training. So everything is pretty, the thing I like about the military is it's very sequential. Getting called up, looking back, like what the fuck happened between this morning and now?
And that's, you know, dude, it's I've had those days overseas, right? To where you're like, you wake up and it's another day. And then at the end of the day, you're sitting back and just like laying back and looking at everything that happened and like trying to rack your brain around that. But that's something that you expect overseas. Like, I couldn't imagine the impact on you that would have. Happening in your safe space, essentially.
I tried to get some counseling from the VA, whatever, but right when I got out, because they ask you before you get out, they do a medical examination, you know, your exit eval. And, you know, I told them, hey, I've had these frequent dreams, these nightmares, they're exactly what happened. And I have them like a couple times a week.
Yeah.
And this is back in 2004. So this is only 3 years after. So it's still fresh.
Even just listening to that, man, like, I'm like, I'm just picturing it. I'm like rubbing my legs, you know, like, it makes me uneasy just after reading it and putting myself in there, like, holy shit.
So I got a funny story. Like, it started getting, the flashbacks got worse in 2015. There's a delay in the VA actually listening. I got some people high up to help me out, which is sad. A veteran needs help. This should help them. But I was crawling under, doing a lot of low crawling under crawl spaces and buildings. This is post-Army. And I was a civilian working doing mechanical engineering. And in some scenarios, you have to go find out and investigate existing mechanical systems. Mm-hmm. So I focused on my job. And at first, it wasn't bugging me crawling around, but I started having bad flashbacks of there's just too many triggers. Being in a dark space underneath, it's hot. Sometimes, you know, depending if you're a boiler room, you're working on steam hot water lines or steam lines or shafts and stuff are hot. And building materials for me, 9/11, I think under everything about the interior of the building's makeup, because it's blown to shit.
And when you reference it being blown to shit, you're talking about the Pentagon.
Yeah, the Pentagon, the wake.
Because you got
the plane going through.
You.
But no, I'm sorry. The nexus was, I had to get a different job. It was like,
yeah.
I can't do this. I mean, it's like, I know what's happening. You know, I know what's causing it. You know, I like my job. You know, I was designing mechanical plumbing. I enjoyed it, but. And the things I had to do on the side, the repercussions were worse. I finally went and talked to the VA again 14 years later. I believe it might be the first time. I asked for help, and it was just taking forever. So I ended up writing Congress. I was like, hey, this everything's happened. Here's my military records. I'm trying to get help, and this is bullshit. I got denied. And
you were specifically denied for PTSD from the VA, military
PTSD
related.
From the military related, because it was at first it was non-combat. So because you had to fill out a form back in 2004, and it says theater where event occurred.
Yep.
United States.
Right.
It's like no. What combat zone were you in? I wasn't. Yeah, and then it got denied. I was so mad. After I got that first time, that denial letter, I put on a barbecue. Was this shit. I was so mad. And I tried following up, and they sent me to some piece of shrink outside the VA for outside evaluation. They're just there for just money. A lot of them. Not all of them, but and you're not doing justice for your veterans that way.
I think the reason this is so important, right? Like, you missed over a big chunk of your story, and I get why you did. But I want to give you praise on it, right? Like, from what I read, everybody that went back to the Pentagon to help volunteered to do so.
Yeah.
You guys were not required to go and do that. And it was a volunteer deal. There was like the impact of that day was so huge that it basically overwhelmed first responders. Like, they weren't equipped to deal with that. And so you guys stepped up and went over there to help out.
Well, not us as first responders. We weren't trained for that and ready for that shock.
Right.
Which is,
that's what I'm saying.
It's survivable,
like,
but
not only, I mean, you volunteered for the military. You volunteered as an infantryman, right? You volunteered for Old Guard, but you don't really expect that to be one of those things that you're going to have to deal with, right? Like, you're mentally prepared to go to war, right? In your mind as a young kid, when this happens, you're like, all right, I'll deal with combat. But that role specifically that you all filled in and volunteered again for, to go in for your country, was really not one that you were A, trained to deal with, and B, required to do. To me, that's a big deal, bro. Like that is a huge deal. Like you guys were on the ground there for over 30 days going through all that.
Some of us were there for 30 days. Yeah.
And it's understandable for the people that weren't there for 30 days. And like even some of those iconic images, and the only reason I know this is from talking to you guys from back in the day. Like the flag being draped over the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Like
big ass flag.
Right.
Yeah.
All of those things taking
the flag down too. There was no really closure then. You know, as of late, what's happened there is still no closure.
And even then, like, I don't feel like there was any closure on it. I feel like it was just done and brushed aside. You know, something that's taken such a huge chunk of your life. And then after dealing with all of that, like, the shit that you guys saw in there, like, I've been through some shit. And, like, just reading that article that you sent me, bro, like, unimaginable. Absolutely unimaginable. And then to go to the VA, who's supposed to be taking care of us, and to have them deny you for, what was that? 2016, I think, is when you sent me that letter that you wrote. I mean,
yeah,
we're talking 15. We're talking 15 years later. Just to get
15. It was minus 3, so 12 years because I was out of service.
That's true.
So it took 12 years for, and then this to all you guys that are just getting out. If you have issues, make sure you file and you file it, and it gets denied. Make sure you read the fine print, because if it passes over a year. They're robbing you of what's entitled to you. Because even though I had it in writing, I had PTSD, the doctors diagnosed it in 2004, even though I didn't perfect my form, they denied it. But I was too young and dumb to really look into it further and understand, like, hey, well, I just need somebody that knows how to fill this shit out. Go to DAV, go to American Legion. They have guys that will help you fill it out because they've been in the same boat. Anyways, I ended up having to reach out to Congress, and the Congress got it taken care of by the end of the month. Something that took 15 years or 12 years.
Here's the other thing that I think you're missing, though, right? Like you did. You finally, after 15 years, right, after the event, 12 years after you get out, you finally did get rating for what you just like. I don't want to say what you deserve, but like you got correctly rated through the VA.
Want them to admit it. I just wanted
to admit. Like for them to deny what the fuck you guys had gone through.
No, it's about the people that aren't there talking. That's it. Like, well, you weren't there. You didn't see it. And then they're just trying to save money. I mean, I don't know.
It's not about money. It's about them ponying up. It's not even about like the recognition. I don't know how to describe it. It's about literally being like, f-ing own your shit.
Well, the thing is, the VA gives me medication and shit to help me with stuff. To make it, this is the best asymptotic answer. Are your issues tolerable? What the fuck? That's such subjective. Are my issues tolerable? Are they as bad as they were at their peak in 2016? No. Do I still have issues? Yes. Do I take medication for me? Yeah, thank you. But
it doesn't make it go away, though. That's the thing.
It doesn't make it go away. They give training, and all the breathing techniques, mindfulness when you try to taste your food and shit. I mean, hey, might work on some people, but that Jedi shit's not working on me. Call me hard-headed or what. My dogs are great, and I think that's just like the number one thing for me is slowing down. And not thinking, if I start thinking about it, it snowballs quick. So, like this morning, I wasn't thinking about it, and I'm always open to talk to you about anything. So it is a big issue. It's like 9/11 is almost getting washed under.
I would take it a step further as for what the VA needs to do for y'all. It's not that many people, and not just the VA, but the government itself, right? Like 100% what you dealt with that day, like those emotions and I don't want you to downplay it. Right. Because like 100%, those emotions and everything that you dealt with that day is the same thing troops dealt with overseas.
Well, see, that's a hard thing for a lot of the guys that.
Because you're what? Like, fucking stateside?
Even though I got denied compensation. I know a lot of you guys are after compensation, but the VA wasn't paying for, you know, proper AAR groups, you know. He's like, well, I go sit in with a bunch of combat hardened veterans, or that's what I thought. And it's like, they're just as fucked up as me. I talk some bad shit too, but, you know, they had to do other shit, but everybody has, and all the military does is, I'm going to take those chemicals and give you a bunch of medication and dumb it down to where it's tolerable.
There's only so much, I mean, does it make any sense? I said this yesterday on the podcast, on one of the episodes I was taping, like, there's only so much that you can take a pile of shit and polish it into a turd, right? Like, you can take a turd and it's steaming, yeah, disgusting.
It's an old Arby thing.
And you could take it and you could, like, roll it.
Turd. It's shiny.
You could round it in your hands and you could shine it up. But at the end of the day, it's still a ball of shit.
Still a turd.
That you have to deal with, right? Like, you still have this turd that you have to carry around with you. It's a more tolerable turd. It's a polished turd. It still smells like a turd, but at least it's more presentable of a turd. So what I'm trying to tell you, Eric, is like, I think that the government needs to take it a step further for y'all, because 100% that area that you're in and the things that you're doing, you guys were absolutely under attack and you dealt with the aftermath of that attack for a very long time. And you're still dealing with it to this day. Now, there is a rating, right, that the VA has recently came out with. And I think that they need to open it up to y'all. Like, it's not that many of y'all. It's not that many. There was, what'd you say? A couple hundred, probably about 300 max. And it's called combat related special compensation. And it says, due to the actions or whatever it is that you saw in combat and the injury or illness that you have being directly related to combat, you then get special compensation on top of that. Right. And it allows you to do a couple other things with your money and how it gets waived in and everything else. And I know you're shaking your head saying, no, no, no. And this is, Eric, I've spent 4 years in combat. And after hearing and reading your story and the stuff that y'all had been through, the only reason I could see for it not applying is because they want to say that for some weird political agenda that the United States was an attack or that it wasn't happening. But that's a fact that shit was brought here to U.S. soil and you guys were right in the middle of it. I mean, right in the middle of it, not just for a day, but for months after. And we didn't even talk about like the protective postures that had to take place at the Pentagon afterwards. You know, like that place, sure as shit, if you went to the Pentagon, there was Humvees with 50 cals on it. Like, I'm not making this up. There's Humvees parked outside with 50 cals, look, National Guard troops sitting
Mark,
on them.
Mark
19s. Yeah. Yes. I'm not making this shit up. So for... the last thing I want you to do, like, as a human being, is to downplay the shit and the situation that you were in. And, like, I absolutely applaud you for coming on and being like, look, this is what I dealt with. Like, I had to go through all this bullshit of the VA denying me stuff for years. And it wasn't until Congress got involved that something got done with it. And I actually remember hearing years ago that they were looking at declaring that a combat zone for granting.
That's what they told us. We thought.
But it's something that you might not believe and that you might not think. But I'm telling you, from my perspective looking in, it's something that needs done. You know, this country gives billions of dollars away overseas, you know, to do all this shit for people that aren't even American citizens. And so when you have actual veterans that have been through combat situations, and in my opinion, that is a combat situation, not to grant them, right, recognition, that shit matters. I know you don't give a shit about the money, but like that shit matters for it to be properly recognized for what it is. We started a freaking 20-year war because of what you went through that day. Like, think about that. You guys dealt with a lot of shit that day. And I don't even, like, I'm dead serious, man. I don't think people realize what you guys went through, like dealing with all that. And I'm not here to tell your story for you, you know, but like the shit that I've heard from you guys about what happened that day. And then when you told me that the VA had denied you for it, that about sent me off the deep end.
All the other guys that I've talked to, same scenario.
That shouldn't be a thing, man. That shouldn't be a thing for you or any other vet in this country. Obviously, if somebody's lying through their teeth, like that shit happens all the time. But like that's, I'd like to say that is one of the most well-documented battles in American history. Like what went down that day. How they can deny that blows my fucking mind.
it wasn't a, I don't want to say battle. It was just an event, you know, like Pearl Harbor, you know, that was a battle. You know, those guys, I mean, can't compare anything to that. But I just feel like with all of what's been going on in the world right now, it's like that 9/11 stuff is just being swept under the rug. And I don't think there's been a day where, I'm not incriminating myself. I'm just saying this because I mean it. It's like, I remember September 12th, September 13th, a couple of days later. And I never seen people see me so American and supportive of each other and loving and attentive, being present, you know, on the 12th after that shit happened.
I agree.
I haven't seen, I mean, I hate that. I mean, that just like, you know, everybody just like was aware, like, hey, what the they're attacking my backyard. I mean, on the West Coast, it's like, hey, they've been attacking my backyard. That's mine. My people, you know, whatever.
Like,
but
it's like anything else. Like, we might have our differences, but don't fuck. It's
people,
like
people waved at each other. Everybody, it's like people flying flags.
I was gonna say there was American flags on damn near like every car. They had them like sticking out of the windows. They had them hanging off houses. They had them fucking everywhere. And like that level of patriotism has not been seen since. Not even close. If anything, I feel like this country has divided itself even further apart.
No, it has. There's people that just need to step up, and everybody needs to fucking step up, really. Not just some people. Everybody.
People need to start being Americans again.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest issues that I have is people that put anything else to separate themselves in front of the word American.
Anybody. It's like, if you're born in America, you're American. I'm American. What was it, growing up? Yeah. You know, starting off, what we fill out the different markers of what you are and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Should that really matter?
No.
Okay, maybe age, but age has to do with an individual's maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, what you identify as has nothing to fucking do. I don't care if you're fucking, I don't want to get political.
By all means, bro, we get political all the time on here. If you want to get political, drop some politics because it happens all the time. Because honestly, people need to fucking hear it.
The fucking pronoun, he, him, whatever. You know, I can't come over yourself. Quit inventing shit up to make other people work harder. It doesn't make sense. It's like you just have more words written somewhere else. Nobody gives a fuck.
Right.
You know, be yourself. I don't give a fuck who you are.
Be a good fucking human being. That's it. That's all we ask for. Be a decent American.
I got called on another media thing, racist, because I use this word. They're developing this property next to us. Cool. It happens. They had more money than I did. If I could buy all this property, I would. The comments I wrote, I enjoyed the view while we had it. I hope we get some decent neighbors. Everybody has a right to decent neighbors. Decent. The word decent, even though it might be subjective to where you live.
You don't want an asshole moving in next door to you.
I don't want an asshole moving in next door. Doesn't matter if they're purple and alien. I want some decent, nice people.
Nor was there a hint of a racist statement.
I got called a fucking racist.
For what?
It is a fucking troll trying to like get people to talk about that shit. All those trolls out there trying to bait people to talk about race. Or you guys are continuing this shit. Just let it go.
I wanted a fucking decent neighbor when I lived in Georgia and I bought my first house. And I had a guy that moved in. Like he was in the house next door to me. It was a brand new subdivision. And there wasn't a fence up in between our yards. And because nobody had lived in my house, I was the first one to own it. He had a couple dogs and he would let the dogs run around and my yard from time to time, right? Like he just let him go out and like shit in the yard. So I got sick of it and I put up a fence. Before I put up the fence, I went over to him and I asked him if he would participate or like contribute to the money for that side of the fence that he shares with me. He said no.
It's called a good neighbor fence.
Right. It's being a good neighbor. Are you going to contribute to the fence that goes along your property? He told me no. Hold on, bro. Hold on. No, you have to hear this. This fucking guy tells me no. I got triggered over having a decent neighbor. So this guy tells me no. I come home one day from work, and he was a captain in the Army too. And when he went to go introduce himself to me, I'm like standing in my front yard with like my blouse off, just standing there. And he walks up to me and he's like, hey, I'm Captain so-and-so. I was like, my name is Matt. And if you want to go by captain, you can get on your own fucking lawn, right?
That's so funny.
This dude, after denying and refusing to pay for like a portion of this fence, right? Doesn't want to pay for his portion of the fence. Hires the same dude that I hired to build my fence. And I come home from work one day and this guy is fixing to tack onto my fence. And I was like, don't you f-ing do it. was like, I swear to God, if you drive it, because I set the fence line back by like 4 inches to make sure he couldn't claim a damn thing. So I was like, if you tack onto my fence, if you come into my property, I will be out here with a fucking chainsaw and a heartbeat, and I will cut that fucking thing down. Don't you fucking dare. I was like, that dude owes me like $1,500 if he wants to tack onto this fence. He can kiss my ass. And you can tell him I said that. I came home from work one day with this guy. I don't know why I'm raging about this guy, but decent neighbor. Because all you're asking for is somebody not like this guy.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, in your mind, you're not going, ah, I wonder what race this gentleman was. I came home from work one day. I came home from work one day, right? And I park in my driveway, and there's this big, like, dog turd in my yard. And I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, keep your dogs in your own yard, in your own grass, and pick it up. This guy, like, happens to be pulling in the driveway at the same time as me, and I'm like looking at this dog turd, and he gets out of his car. He's like, hey dude, your dog shit in my yard again. And he's like, oh, he's like, just let me know whenever it craps in the yard, I'll come over and pick it up. I was like, oh, is that how it works? I was like, okay, I'll tell you what, buddy. You let me know. I was like, what I'm gonna start doing is I'm gonna walk over to your yard and I'm gonna start squatting and crapping in your yard, and when you find it, you let me know and I'll come over and pick it up. How's that sound?
That's your dog, that's your responsibility, that's your shit that you made to the dog, because you bought the food that right now. So you go pick it up and bring it back.
All you want is a decent neighbor. It's not a racist statement. Like, come on, America. Get over yourselves.
No. It's like, you know, the people that could move in there in the future, they're going to have a great view. They're going to enjoy what we have here, where I'm at. When they move here, they're going to enjoy the same views that we have. So I'm happy for them. You know, if they can afford the houses, good for them. They did something right, you know?
Yeah.
But when I hear people saying, like, why are you upset that's going in? They aren't changing the infrastructure of, like, the roads, traffic patterns going to increase on my dead-end street. You know, I know it's part of a master plan and stuff. But I'm more upset at the developers because they took this really small property. I call it small out here. But they're putting 240 homes on it, single story.
Yep.
Average family, you got to have at least three if you have a child, minimum three people living in that household usually in this area. And that's a lot of cars. And they got narrow streets. When they have parties and stuff, I don't want them, city property in front of my house. But
no, I'm assuming it's pretty quiet where you're at. Nobody, and that's how you've envisioned it for a while. And you just want to have decent neighbors. And you just want to keep your center of the
I wanted to get to this relaxing area of work to get here. You know, they've worked to get where they at. So I'm just messing up the storm. Doesn't matter. But I hope I get decent neighbors.
You will. I have no doubt you'll get decent neighbors, bro. Eric, we have to do this again sometime. I don't know why, but we have to. I think we should just do a vet rant or a vet rant.
Vet rant.
A vet rant, because people need to hear that too. I thoroughly believe it. So
next time I'm trying to get my thoughts together a little bit more precise on the whole 9/11 thing. I think I was sort of jumping around because I was just really not wanting to dive too deep into it.
I can see it. I've been there myself. You could ask me certain questions about mine. I would feel the same way.
It's like, I'd be like, hey, hold up, get out.
Well, Eric, it's time for you to say bye to the people. You got about 30 seconds left, and then I got to cut it out.
Thanks, everybody. Whoever watches this, take care.
Thanks for stopping in, bro. I really love you. Don't go anywhere. I'm just going to sign off from here, and then we're going to chat. All right, everybody. Thanks for stopping in with Speak the Truth Podcast. I'm Matt Tardio. Thanks for listening to my buddy Eric tell his story, and he's walking away like a – okay. Oh, there he is. Oh, he's back. Okay. Peace, love, happiness. God bless, everybody. I'll see you next time.
Game day starts before kickoff. Get ready for the big game with help from Menards. Find great deals on sofas and recliners to keep guests comfortable all game long. Score big savings and stock up on game day goodies. Shop a variety of snacks and drinks to keep your party fueled up. Make Menards a part of your game plan. Shop in-store or on Menards.com and save big money.
Save big money at Menards. Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.